Going into week 8 of E100, so there's 20 weeks, and as we go into week 8, there's going to be quite a bit about Elijah, and Elijah is a really central character. You know, Elijah was one that appeared with Jesus at the Transfiguration, and he was only two people in all of human history that didn't die. He was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. That's pretty amazing. The other one was Enoch, by the way. I like Enoch a lot. He walked with God. And I like to say it, I like to think about it a lot, that they would go out for walks together, and then I think what happened was, rather than go back to Enoch's house, one day God just said, hey, let's go to my house. And so they just went home together. And Elijah is really special before God too. A little bit different than how the world thinks, because we would think that somebody that is really special and important, that things would get easier for them. And it should get better. That's what happens in the world. You usually get promotions, you make more money, you get special privileges, you get more recognition, and all sorts of stuff. But God does not work like that. It works very much the opposite. God continues to develop strong faith in the individual. And so Elijah, what he comes forward for us today, is he comes forward as a person who is an example of how to renew yourself and how to strengthen yourself when life is really difficult and it is really hard. And when you are tempted. And there's some things that I want to share from his example that you can see in the reading, some of the things that he did. There is, when Carol was sharing with you, Carol was giving you some of the background, and Randy was too, which is great. You see, before he actually runs off and has this time when God speaks to him, there's a lot of wonderful things that are happening. He has this incredible encounter with these prophets of Baal. And one thing that might not be you might not be aware of or might not know is that the people of Israel, so the Israelites, have really ceased to follow God at this point. And King Ahab and his wife Jezebel is actually a daughter of a king in Sidon, which is way far away from Israel, completely different religion, completely different God. Ahab has married her, and they have systematically started it's a genocide is really what it is, of destroying anybody who is a leader in Judaism. And so this has been their goal, this has been their target, and this is what their whole task has been. They've dedicated their lives to this. And so he has this encounter, as Carol was saying, where he calls all the priests together and fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice. Meanwhile, the prophets of Baal are calling out. Of course, nothing happens. But what occurs right after that is the Queen Jezebel is really upset. And she makes a decree that if one day passes without me taking your head, it's going to be too long. And Elijah is terrified. He runs away. He flees. And he goes to a good place. He goes to where he can find God. You'll see in your text, it says he goes to Mount Horeb. That's actually Mount Sinai. That's where he goes. He goes to Sinai where God could speak to him, where God could help him. And I think to begin with, what I'd like to share with you is what God does is God just lets him complain. God lets him just share his heart. And he complains before God and he says, well, this is how I feel. And he says, I'm the only one left. I zealously serve you, and now they're trying to hunt me down. And in that situation, you know, God listens. God takes the time. He listens to him. Doesn't interrupt him. And then God gives him a very special gift. The gift that God gives him is, you know, you think when God would come down to earth, that it would be in a fire, or that it would be in mighty wind, or that it would be in an earthquake. But it's not in any of those. Maybe you've heard the story before, but how does he come to him? He comes to him in this still small voice. Why? I've wondered about that. Why does he come to him in a still small voice? I think the reason is this. God desires to speak to quieted hearts. You know, often it's not a question of whether or not God is speaking or whether he wants to speak to you. But what it is are we quiet enough to hear? So after all that Elijah has been through, you've heard some of the background now, some of the difficulties, beyond anything that we can possibly even imagine. None of us have been hunted down for our lives by somebody who is a king and a queen. And, you know, he's at a place where he can listen to God right now. And I think one of the reasons why we do not have a very deep, life-changing, dynamic faith is because we just simply don't take time to listen. We're just too busy. We're just too darn busy with everything that we have to do in life. All the busyness of life. And you know, God end up, he gets the leftovers, and we can't hear his still small voice. And I think it is so important for us in life. I cannot share with you how important this is. It is just to have a time that you reserve. And I believe that you have to reserve it. You have to actually set that time aside. Jesus had a schedule that was beyond anything we could possibly even imagine. He was busier. He was so busy, it actually says at times in the gospel, that he didn't have time to eat. But listen to this verse. Here's a verse from Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And he made it a habit. He made it a habit where he could get off by himself. And it's true with any relationship. Any relationship grows when you have time with that person. And our relationship with God is really no different. And don't miss one of the really beautiful things in this story is that God speaks to us in our absolutely darkest hour. You know, the Lord is speaking to us. The Lord is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. And I think the question is, are we quiet enough? Are we still enough to listen? We can get our eyes on the circumstances. We can get our eyes on the problem. We can get our eyes on the person that's causing the problem. You know, Elijah says, I'm the last one. He says, there's nobody left from me but me. And you know, and what Randy read was something that I was going to share because he talked about Obadiah. See, he had forgotten about Obadiah. Obadiah had actually done a lot of really wonderful things for the Lord. And in that, Obadiah is the right-hand man of this very bad and horrible king Ahab. Right? But he had forgotten that. He didn't see that. You know, my eyes used to be really, really good. They were, at one point, they were 20/10. And I mean, without my glasses, man, I could see, you know, I could see a speck on the wall there at 100 feet. I can't anymore. It's just not possible. I can't. If I take them off, I can't even read this. And can't see. I should probably really use them for driving, you know. But I do. But the thing is the glasses really, they change my natural eyes so I can see, but they don't change the world. The world is still what it is, but when I put them on, I'm able to see things differently. I'm able to have a different understanding. I'm able to do different things. I'm able to read. I'm able to play music. I had a competency that doesn't come from me, that's not there and will not be there. And I think it's important for us to know, it's important for us to hear that God wants to change the way that you are thinking about things. He wants to change the way that you are considering things and looking at people. He really does. It's very important because how you think is how you act. And God wants to redo that. He wants to reshape that. He wants to reform that. And, you know, this is what he's doing to Elijah. He's bringing this encouragement into Elijah's life. He's refocusing him. And there's two things that I would like to finish up with, I would like to share with you that are really key. Because, you know, you wonder, how does the renewal work? How does God refocus me? How does he bring that into my life? And Elijah is a really good example of it. There, one is external, and the other one is internal. And the two things work together. They're like a double work of the Holy Spirit that God does. And the external thing is something like what we're doing right now. When we're gathered together, we're here in fellowship. You need to do that. This is an external thing that we need to do where we're putting ourselves in a place where we can have truth. We can have Christ's exalting word being spoken into us. We can partake in the Lord's body and blood. We can be encouraged by one another. These are external things that we do. I like God shows us this in the text because Elijah went to Mount Sinai. He did not hang around with Jezebel. He went right to where he could be in God's presence. You see, this is the key. This, we put ourselves in a situation where God can speak to us. It's very important. There is just way too much temptation. There is way too much noise and clutter and everything in this world. And we're not that good. We're not able in and of ourselves. We need to place ourselves in a situation where God can speak that into our lives. It's very basic, but it's so essential. And Satan doesn't want you to do that. Even your flesh doesn't want you to do that. Even the world doesn't want you to do that. You know, I think about it, and sometimes it's very simple things. Do you listen to the radio in your car? What do you listen to? I mean, you stop and think about it. You know, there's like, we got four pretty wonderful Christian radio stations here in Champaign, Urbana, and outside of it. That's a great thing to have your radio tuned to. It really is. And you can flip from one to the other. And I'm telling you, how many times am I edified? You know, I'm feeling like, I mean, it's happened twice this last week. It happened three times a week before. You know, I was thinking about something. You know how like a funk can get on you and you'll be thinking about things and stuff like that. But you turn that on and God just uses that. You're right in that place. And then God is able to kind of just bring that hope and help into your life. And you know, the second thing though is internal. There has to be a humble heart. There has to be a humble heart within us that says, God, you're right. I will receive you. I need your guidance. I will bow my heart because I need your help. I can't figure this out on my own. I can't do this on my own. And we humbly bow our hearts. We place ourselves in a situation where we can receive that. And that's the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit comes to us and he just shapes that and melts that. And God on His part, can you see how He's working overtime in this? And God never gives up on you, never gives up on me. That's why I'm just so amazed, you know, that Jesus Christ came into this world. He didn't have to do that. He came into this world, took on that flesh and blood so that He can relate to you and me. He can have that relationship with us so that He can begin to shape us and so that He can begin to form us. I really like that. And look at the patience with Elijah. Elijah complained, but he didn't let Elijah get away. And he let Elijah know, see, if you wait on God, you will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame. And it's a good thing to do. And he told him, he said, I'm going to take care of this anyway. He says, I have 7,000 people who are still following me. And the people that he anointed, you can see in the text, he lists a couple people that he anointed. Those are the very same people who are going to do away with Ahab, do away with Jezebel, and do away with their wicked regime. And Elijah is actually going to be raised up and do more good to bring Israel back to God than Elijah did. It's amazing. And God's just saying, just wait on me. Trust me. Follow me. Do my will. It is good. It is right. And these are things that God wants to do in our lives. He wants us to put ourselves in a place where we can be fed and then humble our hearts and let that good work of God just grow in us. I'm sure Elijah was worried about a whole lot of stuff. I'm worried about a whole lot of stuff. Let me just end with some things that came to mind. And they're simple things, but they can get us to think about, you know, our God. I like there was a sign I noticed this week that was on the church as I'm entering Paxton. And it says, quit telling God how big your problems are. Just remember how big your God is. And I thought, well, that's actually pretty cool. And when you are the neediest, God is the most sufficient. Isn't that true? When you are completely helpless, the Lord is most helpful. When you are weakest, God is your strength. Oh, can you imagine if we can just get these inside our heart and mind? You know, and we just believe and confess these. When you don't think there's a way, God has already made a way. When you feel most useless, God is preparing you. When you feel useless, God is preparing you for something. Can you see that? Our God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. When it's dark, Christ is the only light you and I will ever need. When you feel least secure, God is your rock and your fortress. When you feel insignificant, God already knows your name, knows you by name. Our God gives us His strength, and it is by faith that He has chosen to save us. And I would encourage us as individuals and as a church to really give our heart and our soul and our mind to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You with our needs, with our burdens, with our issues, with our challenges, and with our lives. And we ask, Lord, that You would use them for Your glory, that You would bless us and strengthen us in You. Lord, help us to see that we are Your witnesses, and we pray that You would encourage us in that. In Jesus' name, amen.